بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Maulana Ibn Qaisab rahmatullah alayh once explained that you take the name of Allah Ta'ala no matter how unmindfully you take his name, but it will definitely impact, it will definitely impress your heart. Anbiya alayhim salam, if it is Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then to strengthen the bond, then he is taking to the cave of Hira, sometimes for 1 month, sometimes for less days, but all so that the bond with Allah Ta'ala is strengthened. It is Musa alayhi salam, wa'adna Musa salatheena laylatan wa atmannaha bi ashr. Then he is dedicating 40 days. Then seclusion, fasting, then Allah Ta'ala reveals to him. If it is Isa alayhi salam, then he also is dedicating time in the wilderness, secluded. And then the whole wahi, the process of wahi commences after that. So the idea is to strengthen the bond with Allah Ta'ala. And this bond becomes perfect when the negative is right and the positive is right. The negative, La ilaha. So when you say La ilaha, then what you are saying actually, that there can be, it's impossible for any perfection. Any perfection, any glory cannot exist of its own. Any perfection, achievement, glory, majesty cannot exist of its own. So whatever good you see, glory, beauty, greatness that you see, this is a reflection of His. It's His glory is just reflected on this person or on this thing. So that's the whole essence of La ilaha. And now for this to come right, you have to work your whole life. So if it is wealth, then you will not say it's my wealth, it's my achievement, it's my hard work. You will say it's the grace of Allah Ta'ala. If it's beauty, then you will not praise your beauty or your attraction, how attractive you are. It's the grace of Allah Ta'ala. If it's excellence in knowledge, in some type of knowledge, expertise, professionalism, academic, again you attribute it to Allah Ta'ala. It is only from Allah Ta'ala. See, you have to negate, nafi karna, to negate. Now, the moment that the thought or that idea comes to mind, no, I have got this, it's mine, and it's my work, it's a result of my hard work, then you are on very dangerous territory. Now you can fall at any time. See? So as long as you are attributing it to the right, no problem. The wealth, the beauty, the comfort that you're enjoying, attribute it, show it, it's not mine's. Any given time. In the second story in Surah Kahf, and this is that orchard, right? Allah gave big orchards, streams flowing in between, vineyards, and then actually supposed to be a vineyard, yeah? Vineyard, then he's got date palms, everything he's got, and he's got other investments as well, Canada, somewhere, other investments he's got, everything. Then he says, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَعْلُمْ وَأَعَزُ نَفْرَ See me. What you got? You are a broken down John even. Me, look at myself. Just see wealth, property, investments, orchards. Not everything. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَعْلُمْ See my wealth. Look at what you got, what I have got. So this point here, when Allah gives you, then when you come at that point, then can you also, can you still remain that original person? Sometimes I tell the boys here, you know, some boys nowadays you get all different type of backgrounds. They like to sell old cars, second-hand cars. There's a business now. Can't stop everybody. Some people you can stop, some people you can't stop. So when it's an old car that they're driving, then they have a frame there on the rear, tawakkul. So I asked two or three of them, say for example you are driving a brand new Merc, right, or a BM, brand new, absolutely out of the box, you think you'll put the tawakkul there? So the tawakkul only features when it's broken down. When it's not broken down, so that thing doesn't feature. You don't trust Allah Ta'ala then. See how our minds work. So when I'm strong now, then, well, this thing will keep taking me. Keep on. It's a joke, this thing will take me. But now if it's not, it's by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. See that? How our minds work. In fact, the mind should be working, the more you are progressing, the more you are attributing to Allah Ta'ala. See, so many places in the Quran Sharif, when a Nabi has an achievement, right? Then he says, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا. Right. So when they have been blessed with something additional, then additional, make it known that this is not mine. This is only the doing of Allah Ta'ala, the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Right. He's ordering one of his men to bring the arsh, the throne of Bilqis. And in a blink of an eye, the throne is there. That Hada min Fadli Rabbi. No, this can't happen normal. See, as your achievements are progressing, as your works are progressing, becoming more and more great, then more and more you are turning to Allah Ta'ala. It's not mine. It's your doing. Allah Pak speaks about it. Wama Ramita is Ramita Walakin Allah Rama. In the Battle of Badr, Nabi Sam took a handful of pebbles and he threw it at the kuffar, and there wasn't a kafir, wasn't affected, and there was a whole disarray, confusion. One hand of sand and stone and caused such a disarray. Imagine a thousand strong, you take a handful of sand, perhaps not even one person will get affected, right? And yet that whole thousand crowd is affected. So Allah makes it known, Ma Ramita is Ramita. Wasn't your doing, it was our doing. It's the same concept, the same yakin, not yours. Tumara nahi. In our context, it works like this. I gave you, I'm going for Hajj or something, so I got one Ferrari, as it were. We enjoy it for 3 months. So, in the meanwhile, you try and force the papers on your name and you say this is mine. Somehow or the other you try to force the papers and you say it's yours. How would I feel if I come back? What do you want? Asking for the car. Where's the proof that this is your car? How will I feel at that time? See? Whereas I gave it to you and now you are just refusing, you're denying. As a human being, how do I feel? Now, exactly the same now, look at it. The gift is from Allah Ta'ala. And now when you progressed, Allah gave you that. Now suddenly you just turned it towards yourself. This is that misattribution, and what a big problem it is. So as you are progressing, that La ilaha must keep progressing also. Together you are progressing, the same as progress. One person came to Mulana Abdul Qadir Sahib Rai Puri Rahmatullah Ali. Came with his friend and used to meditate and make muraqabah. And sometimes he'll make muraqabah on your heart. What's the condition of your heart? Right. So he's making muraqabah. And in the muraqabah, he said, hey, uske andar to kuch nahi hai. He's for nothing. You are saying that you are his murid and you are with him and all that. But I peeped into his heart. There's absolutely nothing there. What are you after? Anyway, the friend didn't pay attention to him. Second session again, he did the same thing. And again, he said, dil mein koi cheez hai hi nahi. The friend didn't say anything for the second time. Now, when he did that, now he said, hey, I must check up properly now. Something is missing here. And I'm missing out somewhere. He did for the third time, said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Main kis ghalati mein phasa hua hoon. I mean, I'm deeply in a mistake. I'm involved in a mistake. This man here, every second he's saying, I'm nothing. It is just the greatness, the glory of Allah Ta'ala, and I'm nothing. Every second he's saying this. And I'm thinking that he's saying that he's nothing. See, it comes to the same, I'm nothing. Right? But now, in what context Mawlana was saying it, I'm nothing. So this was what was pulsating in his heart, I am nothing. So we were speaking about the other Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he explained this point very clearly. No matter how unmindfully you take the name of Allah Ta'ala, but the name of Allah Ta'ala will affect the heart. Just go on doing it, just doing it. Yes, we should endeavor, see, when you're trying to strengthen the bone, right, then you need to see now, what must I do to strengthen the bone? I need to strengthen something, how must I do? Like, it's a tree, right? For example, it's a small sapling, small coming up. And you can see now, it's a very precious, this tree is a very precious thing, right? You don't get it, and if it only comes up, you know, the price I can get for this thing here, phenomenal, right? One friend of mine was telling me, you get some type of wood, you know, teak wood, some types. So they had brought some teak wood, cot made of teak wood from India, those days, about 80, 90 years ago. So that thing was scrapped now. So one, he thought of one white carpenter, perhaps he can just shine it up and polish it up. So they gave it to him. It's a small piece, I think, just like this, size of this thing here. It's maybe so thick, and size of this. Or maybe a little bit broader, right? So that white carpenter thing, he can just allow me to keep this for at least 10 days. After 10 days, he polished everything and he kept it by him. He said, I kept it near my heart. While I was sleeping, I kept it with me. You know what this thing is? This is 30,000 rand. See that quality of wood. It was pure Burmese wood, teak wood. Right? So now, the person that knows the value, then he knows how to look after that thing. So now, you want to strengthen the bone. See that tree now. You want to strengthen the bone. Strengthen it. So, what is the sensible thing to do to strengthen the thing? And there will be about three things that you need to do. If it is a stormy area, then cover it from the wind. Protect it, guard it from the wind. It's a stormy area, right? Number two, the second thing you need to see, is there any obstructions on its way? On the ground, stones, pebbles, too hard. If there's any obstructions, then remove that as well. It's the second thing that you need to do. Right? Now this can happen all the time. It's going to be, if not obstructions, it's going to be some weasels, some worms, some things that will eat on that. Right? Weather conditions also, all is coming all the time. You have to just turn them, you just have to move all that away. All that weather conditions, you have to protect it against, and the weasels and whatever, worms and all that, you have to continuously you have to guard it against it. And the third thing that will be required to get the tree right, third requirement, is you see that you nourish the tree properly, correctly. Right? What type of weather conditions it likes, enjoys, and what type of nourishment it would like. So you got that by the grace of Allah, that it will come upright. So now, you want to see that the tree flourishes. You have got that bonding with the tree. You know what it can do for you, right? So you bond. You're born, and then nothing will do for you afterwards. So by the same token, now you've got iman, and you want to bond with Allah Ta'ala. Right? When you want to bond with Allah Ta'ala, then these are the things that you have to keep in mind. It's going to be stormy conditions out there. All type of fitnas and thoughts and ideologies and people, places, media, books, all type of this, all the storms, right? It's going to be surrounding you. Yeah, you just read one article, I think pushed you one side. Another article, it just smashed you on the other side. Right? So this is going to be a continuous process. It's not going to be finishing up. You can't see the rhythm or stop. That thing is going to do its work. Today it started. In the morning it will be windy, cloudy. Now it's settled. Right? By the evening, Allah knows what's going to be again. Right? So this is going to carry on all the time. And it's going to be, this weather condition is going to be changing all the time. Then that thing needs to be protected all the time. It has to be kept in that nursery and protection all the time. See, you get a little bit of strength, a little bit of energy, and you say, no, I can't be independent. That can be dangerous. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, rahmatullahi, see, all our hadith silsila, all reach up by him. The thought that we follow, the school and the thought that we follow is Hazrat Shah Waliullah. See, all Dioban, Tabligh, all that. This is the thought that they follow. In each zamana, they worked according to the circumstance. What was the circumstance at that time? They worked accordingly, right? So, but this is coming from Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, rahmatullahi. And comes from his father, Shah Waliullah Sahib, rahmatullahi. Now, we need to do two things. One is to see what is Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib, rahmatullahi's school of thought. How was his school of thought? Right? What did he offer? What were his contributions? So we begin to appreciate the person. In a short life, just around 50 or something, and what a dynamic work he did. He turned the world over. He's already gone from the world over 300 years. But the traces of his work is flourishing right throughout the world, everywhere. What must he have done in a short period, 50 or something? And what dynamic work he's done. So this Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib's son is Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib. Now in Delhi was like a hub from those days. If you trace it, I think for over 800 or 900 years, Delhi is a hub. You hear Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki, all they are centered in Delhi. The mazars are right there. Right? The Shah Waliullah Sahib is also there. So everybody is there. So Delhi was like a hotspot. Everything is taking place there. Now, when it's a hot spot, right, so there'll be a lot of trade and commerce. And because of the opportunities of trade and commerce, there'll be an influx of population. Right. See the Durban-Maritzburg corridor, right? This corridor, right, because it's an influx of trade. So you see how people are running for the properties there. And you see how it's just escalating, right? So it's rocketing. One person saying, I bought a property there, 10,000 rand, and my chance in about 8 years, that thing went to about 8 million rands. How that thing just rocketed, you see. See, always look at the kudrat of Allah, it's not what you're doing. You don't say, my chance, you don't say that. No. Allah wanted to bless you. When He wanted to bless you, He inspired your heart to buy this one here. When you bought this thing here, then 9-10 years, nothing just came up. When it came up, your business prospered. Now, you forget Allah Ta'ala at that time. At the time you bought the thing, 10,000 rands, hey man, this thing I got by this. It's a dead stock here. This is a dead stock now, hey, I don't know what to do. At that time, this is how you cry, it's a dead stock. You make dua, Allah, make something out of this. But when that thing escalated into 10 million rand, see, you know, I'm a lucky person. The luck is with me. Now he forgets Allah Ta'ala at that time. At that time he forgets Allah Ta'ala. When he bought that thing, at that time he said, hey, dead stock man, hey, I don't know what to do with this man. You know, I just want to give it up for free. Just paying the rates for this, nothing coming here. But when he struck then, from 10,000 to 8 million it went up to, then hey, see my luck. I'm a witty person. I know how to play the market. See how he plays now. He forgets Allah Ta'ala at that time. At that time, that's... So proportionately, as you progress, simultaneously, it's Allah Pak's doing. Allah Pak's doing. Allah Pak made happen. See, these imams, when they progressed in hadith and they progressed in fiqh, etc., it was their style. As they learn something, they're turning to Allah Ta'ala, making shukr. And something new, one hadith, again shukr, right? Or they can't understand some masla, again they're asking Allah Ta'ala. Whether they are progressing or they want something, again they're turning to Allah Ta'ala. All the time. Therefore now, because the affinity and the bond was such, Allah Ta'ala made them like precedents. They are like your sources, your references, and precedents. So, if anything, any masla is being discussed, so this is a point of reference, it's a source. You know, Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi said this. Imam Malik rahmatullahi said this. It's a point of reference, it's a precedent. Right? Then you don't question, after that you don't question, how did Imam Sahib say this? You don't say that. If any other person says it, after that, say, alright, he said this, but where he got it from? But it was the statement of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi that you don't ask that. But what they did was, their secret was, they negated. Kushne, we not anything. Denied all the time. Every second, every moment. This is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Allah, just keep us safe until we reach. Until we reach you, Allah, to the shore of safety. Until then, just keep us safe. We don't want to be drowned. This ego will just drown us. It will smash us down. We'll be nothing just now. So Allah, you just take us to the shore of safety. Take us with ease, please. Every second, every moment. This is the frame of mind. So, like I was explaining, Delhi is a hub of activity. It's a business, like how you get a trade port. It's like a trade port, right? So all cultures, multinational cultures, everything will be here at Delhi. Like you find. The same happens in Bombay, same happens in Delhi. Everything is working here. Now when it becomes a multinational thing, multi-religion as well, then you will get people from all walks of life coming at this point. Coming all walks of life. all types of ideas, thoughts, religious ideas, they'll all come at one spot. So it can be very advantageous staying in that circumstance, but it can be difficult as well. Because if it's a center, then very likely you'll get good ulama, very, very great ulama, because the center. And they're working because there's crowds of people here that want guidance from them, so that's the spot that they will like to be at. And people can access them very easily. This is the center, so to access them is easy, right? So therefore they will prefer staying here to make it accessible and easy for people from all around. But by the same token, you'll get all these deviant groups also settling in Delhi. Right? They'll do their own thing. Like the good did their own thing, then the deviant groups also will do their work. If you get Markaz, then you got a Mazar also, it's near there. See that? One side they always talk about Iman and Yaqeen, and on the other side they're talking about making sajda to an idol, right? See, it's simultaneous happening, one place, one spot, within walking distance. Yeah, there's a walking distance, see that? And it's going to carry on. So this is going to attract, this one also going to attract. So it has its advantages, but it can have some disaster as well. وَالْمَعْصُومُ مَنْ أَصَمَهُ اللَّهُ. Only one that can be saved is Allah. Allah can save you. Otherwise, you don't know what's coming, who's coming, who's going, you don't know. You have to be so cautious, so careful about yourself, about the people that are under you. Right? Like I say, it's a sapling. It needs so much of care until it is strongly, firmly rooted, firmly established now. It's, you know. Then inshallah, it goes well. Like you see a fir tree, right? Coming up so weak. But then when it grows up then, solid, so strong, right? You know, one youngster came here from Canada. So he says the temperatures can go down to about 40 degrees, 50 degrees. So just in passing, I asked him, alright, is there any life outside, you know, external life? Even if it's trees, yeah, like he says, just fir trees and all, they can endure that. That fir trees can endure that. Minus 50, you know, is about 10 times your freezer. But that thing can enjoy. So now, you are establishing yourself and your children that no matter what climatic conditions, they must be rooted. You will go minus 50 or plus 60. You must be able to endure. That you can endure that thing. So your iman must be so strong. No matter where you are, but you are rooted, you are established, rooted. Nothing changes you. Your mind, your thought, your practice, your... So that it doesn't just come like that. That you have to work with. The tree that became so strong, it worked on. It was worked on. They took it to the nursery. They gave it all the requirements. And now it became so strong that nothing can affect it. Nothing can do anything. By the qudrat of Allah, nothing can. So your iman has to be worked on so much. Because anti-forces will be there all the time. Now, you get these anti-forces coming in very strange ways, very, very strange ways. Imagine, Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah wasn't feeling well. So they took him to a cool place. There was a place near Delhi, I can't remember the place. Like you get in Pakistan, Mari. So Swat and Mari. Cool, like a cool, relaxing station. There is something in here, I can't get that word. But it's very cool, relaxing. So they took him there. Is it? I'm not sure that's something else. So they took him there. Now, this is what I'm saying now. In all these places, you get the good, and you get the cream here, but you'll get the destruction also in these places. So now, in the early part of the morning, after Fajr Namaz, for his health and all that, they say, it's better for you to take a stroll. And as he's taking a stroll, Maulana feels one yogi. Yogi, and he's meditating, he's in meditation, and he's trying to send the trance to Maulana, send the vibes to Maulana. Maulana has to just do this. We don't want you. Maulana can see the person about 1.5 kilometers away. It's a hilly station, so you can see the person. And he's trying to send the vibes there. Now you see what type of movements are going. Right? Someone is trying to mesmerize you, hypnotize you, trying to put a vibe on you, confuse your mind. So many things that are going on. Now can you be safe on a phone? What were things that are going on there? How many people are trying to mesmerize? How many people are trying to convert you? How many people are trying to throw you off? There's so many things going on. Can you be safe? Whether to mesmerize and to pass on a vibe, the person doesn't have to be there. It can be just words. It can be just a picture. And then it can just drop you off. It can be a picture, it can be some words. And you read that words and it can just drop you off, just capsize you. So Maulana, as great as he is, he'll just ward it off. Say, no, we don't need you. Throw it off. So the reason why people are not so established now is because if the good is strong, then the evil is also strong. And the good is taking things for granted. No, I'm alright, I got Iman. So I'm alright. He is not thinking that he needs to take care against all these anti-forces. All these anti-forces that are there, he needs to take care of it. See, in Malawi, there's a very expensive fish, right? They call it chambo. Maybe small like this, they see. Nowadays you'll pay a small fish like that, 30 rand, 40 rand you'll pay. But now, if you want the profit for that, then you have to endure the mosquitoes. Malaria you have to endure. See, the good is there, and there's a disaster there as well. That thing is very dangerous, right? So how are you going to protect yourself? See, now the iman, and then how you guard yourself? What protection you require? What type of protective kit you need to guard yourself? Now all these things is happening in Delhi. These people are working with their vibes. See this, I'm showing about this vibes and all that, and how they send it across to this technology, to whatever, they're sending this thing. And youth, everybody thinks, no, I'm intelligent, I know what's going on, I can read between the lines, I know what is iman. Everybody sees things the same. But you don't realize, just now you'll become a victim. Because it's not just playing on your mind, it's playing on your emotions. And they can just trip you. So how firmly you need to be rooted to cross it through this journey of earth, how firmly you need to be rooted. That's why the hadith says, the two ways to save yourself, either be in a jamaat, right? That is striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Whichever way they're striving. But they are the right group and they're striving for the right cause. So the group is right and they're striving for the right cause. Normally you can make out. It's a right group striving for the right. You can make them out from their dress, their appearance, their ways, behavior. You can make it out. Even the airport officials know, right? This is Tabligh Jamaat. It's a Diobandi. They know more or less the description. You don't have to teach them. So you can make out now the right group, you can make them out. Right. And this other group also will be wearing trouser and kurta. This is not a dangerous one. Sorry, let him carry on. From his dress they can make it out. He is not on that side. This one here, he is on that side. They can make it out. They can identify. So when you see a group that is right, and you can see they're not for commercial reasons, they're not fighting and squabbling all the time. It's just for Allah Ta'ala and the concern of the Akhirat. Allah Ta'ala and the concern of the hereafter. The rest of the things doesn't really work them out. They don't fall into trouble, unnecessary disputes, discussions, debates. It's work and akhirah. The whole concern is iman and akhirah. Iman and akhirah is what they're concerned about. Right? So either the hadith says that the protection will be with that, or then you go into total isolation. It's total seclusion, right? في شعب من الشعاب يعبد الله ويدع الناس من شره. He's worshipping Allah Ta'ala in isolation and he doesn't hurt anybody. Because he knows that here to cope here is going to be too difficult. The anti-forces are so much coming like a tsunami. In a tsunami, can you save yourself? The tsunami doesn't select now, I'll leave him and I'll let him continue. Leave him. It doesn't select. Takes and takes everybody. So now, when the force is coming like a tsunami, how do you look after yourself? So the hadith gave two ways. Either you join this jamaat, that is on this track. It's work. Work means iman and related things. And the concern is akhirah. That's the goal. They're working not towards the akhirah. That was uncle passed away in a bed here. So between Asr and Maghrib, passed away, sitting on the bed perhaps, and he had a Quran Sharif, right? And they didn't even know that he passed away. Quran Sharif before him, he just stirred it, it's gone. But normally I found this with people that are simple, and they don't talk too much, unnecessarily. But they need to talk, they talk. But I, it's like a common thing. This class of people, they leave the world very, very easily, very nicely, smooth. Got a Quran Sharif before him, reading, and nobody knows also. So you're not talking too much. There's some level of simplicity in you. Allah Pak likes it. Bazaaratu min al-Iman. Allah Pak likes this thing. Now we're talking of Delhi, you know, and that's being like the epicenter, right? All activity is epicenter. So if there's good here, if there's the Shah Waliullah Sahib here, if there's the Nizamuddin Awliya here, right? If the Markaz is here, if all the good is here, then the wrong will also find its centers here, right? The wrongs will also find. They send the same spot. See, Shaitan is not going to go and attack a haunted place. What is he going to get there? He's going to see where he can make some business. So he has to come to a center where he feels there's prospects. And I can see this person is alright. He's too strong. I can't get him. This person here is on the fence. So I can work on him. He also examines, he also studies, right? This person, I can't get him. But this person is a fence sitter. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفِ on the center. إِذَا قُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْفِ when they see prosperity, they move. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَوْمٌ then it darkens this. So in Islam, when they see some good and all that, right, so they will move on. See, you know, you became a Muslim now, and you know, you're receiving so much of ikram and kindness and all that, right? So you're progressing. But then, you know, Islam was also fasting, you know, so then you say, you know, hey, this is too much now. So you want all the enjoyment, but you don't want to go through any trial. And the world doesn't work like that. World works like this, that you need to go through some trial all the time. Now, tomorrow, continuously. Get some enjoyment, go through trial. Go get to some enjoyment and some trial all the time. So, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah is here. And you got a Bidati peer also. The peer, but he's in the bidat, he's soaked in that. So now he is challenging. This bidat is challenging. Now they will challenge, obviously, with that meditation of this. You see the trance, you will meditate, to turn your mind around. So, Shah Sahib Rahmah just avoided him. Got much more important things to do, just avoided him. When he's challenging one student that is not too grounded, right, but very well grounded, he says, no, let me take him on. Now, he's not grounded yet. He's not firm, right? Maybe he's a good orator. Maybe he knows his kitabs. But he's not grounded yet. He's got the facts. Or some of the facts he's got. But he's not grounded. You see, any other science, you just have to learn it, that's all right. But when his deen is not just learning it, it is to get it rooted into the heart. It must become your life. It must become part of you. And any other science, you learnt it, you came out first, whatever, you carry on. Whether you're practicing, applying it or not. Yeah, it's not just learning, it's applying it as well. Becoming part of you. Now this student, he's already graduated now. He graduated and he said, no, I'll take him on. So now I graduated, I'm a good orator, people like me and I influence crowds. And write kitabs and all that, so I must take it on. So he went to challenge this bidati. So that bidati, what he said when he came, I come to challenge you, know, you definitely we'll have a discussion. But now it's hot, you see. What do? You came in the heat, you relax. There's a bed here, you can relax. And once you have relaxed, you cool and calm, then you start work. He bought the idea anyway to relax. This bidati peer, he sat near that bed and kept on trying to meditate on him, see, throwing vibes on him. From the time he went to sleep right till the time he got up, 2-3 hours in, continuously. As he got up from his sleep now, after 3 hours now he's fresh, the first thing that comes out of his tongue, I'm going to take bayat at your hands. Where he is on this side, and you see this 3 hours of meditation, what he did to him. Whereas he's got that knowledge, he's a good orator, and now he feels that because I got the knowledge, and an orator, I can influence people, so I'm strong. And this is what I've been saying for the last 2-3 days. By this radio stations, I think 95% of the people that are there mustn't be there. 95%, 97% mustn't be there. It's just about 1-2% that qualify to be there. That know what they are speaking, they can look at short term, they can look at the long term, they can see iman, they can see yaqeen, they understand akhirat, the seriousness of it, they know all these things here. But when anybody and everybody goes up, he sends a message here, you sending some message, that person sending message. So the, what happens to the audience? Audience will see whose words are more effective, more exciting, more thrilling. That's what they will see, who's got a more flowery speech, who's more thrilling. So they go with that. They can't see beyond. The public, they can't see beyond. They're seeing whose flowery speech is so much more effective. You can see the gloss on his talk, right? The choice of his words. That's what they're looking at. And in that, they're getting hypnotized, they're getting carried away. Right? They don't realize what's happening to them. So I say 97%, right? they're not supposed to be there. Not sending messages, not bayans, nothing. Stay for the 2%. And you want to send message, like woman send a recipe, or it's alright, that's alright. How to make naan katai with the cracks and all that. That's alright. But now that also becomes a problem. About 3 years ago, one lady complained, you know, I prepared recipe books for Ramadan, and someone got, how they got my book, and they send it viral. So I said, I told that woman, now she's crying, I know what she's crying for. She wanted to make a business out of it, right? They make so much of sugar so many people will be enjoying all your savories in the whole month of Ramadan. All the rewards for you. So it's alright, this type of thing is alright. Just leave it at recipes and all that, some ideas. If it's a man, and you give them some idea, alright, what you do for some health tips, home remedies. Or, for example, whatever you come into contact with, something about plumbing, electrical, first aid. What people need day to day, what they need. That's alright. But the only thing is, by, for the sake of Allah, don't get into it. Are you posting a hadith a day? Now you can send the hadith, but you understand the whole hadith, with the context and everything. Just before Ramadan, Shaban. So one person sent a hadith. He said, what a hadith I'm saying, viral. Now everything comes in a context. You give it with the context. You have given the right message. But you just got the hadith, no context, right? Then you can create confusion. See, I can tell you that fasting is haram. And what I'm saying is right. Right? On each day, fasting is haram, isn't it? So, I just say fasting is haram, right? You don't know the context, won't you get confused? Why say fasting is for us, right? Now you got the hadith on each day. Fasting is for us. Hey, I'm not fasting. So every hadith will have some huyud, will have some conditions. So you attach it with the condition, you got the full message. But you detach it from the condition, then it's left to everybody and anybody to then misconstrue the thing. To interpret it. Everybody will interpret it the way he feels is right. And that's what's happening now. On the radio, that's what's happening. The WhatsApp, that's what's happening. Right? So I want the sawab, so let's pass it. Nobody's stopping, but get the whole context right. The language right, the presentation right, and get it in the proper context. Now the message is complete. Now, this person is quoting that hadith that after the 15th of Shaban, don't keep a fast, right? Now, it came to me. He's sending it everywhere, right? Everywhere sending it. That after the 15th of Shaban, it's not right to fast. So I had to explain that person by, explain it in context. Because if someone tells you that Hazrat Rasulullah Pak Sarsam used to fast approximately the entire month of Shaban. How you answer it? You see, no, this hadith here, don't fast after the 15th. And there's another hadith that used to fast nearly all the month of Ramadan, all the month of Shaban. How you going to explain it? See now, you didn't understand it fully. You just got one line and you're sending it viral. So you're doing a service or a disservice. Yeah. This hadith that don't fast after the 15th applies mainly to those people who fear that they will suffer some weakness in the month of Ramadan. Fasting they can't because they exerted themselves, Shaban, so much they fasted, that they can't manage fasting in the month of Ramadan. Like a person now, he heard the virtues of tahajjud, right? He heard the virtue of tahajjud, right? The du'as are answered, Allah Pak's gates of mercies are open. Right? So he heard all that. So the whole night he stood up for tahajjud and then he missed out Fajr. What do you tell him? Better for you is, we just read tahajjud for what, half an hour or something and go to sleep after that. So that he doesn't miss out his Fajr. Right? So the same here, for this person here, the better thing is that he doesn't fast or fast 2-3 days in Shaban, it's alright. And thereafter, he's in a position of strength to do the Ramadan roza. Now, if it's given in context, now the message is going right. But everybody feels, no, I'm educated, I'm literate, I went to school, don't teach me. And then, it's not a kachumar that you make a chutney of it. What is kachumar? You can still identify as carrot, tomatoes, all that, right? But chutney can you identify? You know what is deer? He's talking of deer or something. What is he talking about? Now we're talking about this confusion that comes up. You see, now how you need to look after your deen, iman and your deen. So now the question will be then, what do we do? How do we save ourselves? By then, every area, got some ulama look at their lives and say that their main concern must be deen and akhirat. So they're not worried about commercial things. Your business, other business, fights, they don't get interested in that. Their main concern is your deen and your akhirat. Your deen, your iman, and your akhirat is the main concern. So you see someone, they don't get into fights, arguments, unnecessary things. They don't get into all these things here. So you align yourself with one alim, and then you ask, right, what do I do here? How do I do this? How do I do this? Provided he's got that experience and that expertise as well. If he doesn't have, then you go to someone who's got that experience. And everywhere you'll get in Durban, you'll get here, everywhere you'll get that. And so, no, you can't just say, no, I refer to an alim. He may be just coming out of the box. He just come out of the box now. You don't just take an attorney that just came up. You need to see his track record, what is the success rate, and then you take him on. You don't just take him. He just came out of the box and you take him. You don't do that. So we're talking about this person here, and he's come, no, I'll take bath at your hands. No, relax. No. So now, this bidati shpir wants to see how strong he is. Now he's taken bayat, said, now see, humne koi pakwan chadhaya hai. You know, at this type of occasion, when there's someone coming in, then we make a special type of a treat, and we feast, you see. So, can you take something for your sheikh also? For your ustad? Yeah, all. I will do it. Definitely I'll do it. But you see, you're not rooted, you're not grounded. Right? When you're not grounded, then you're not supposed to be doing all these things yet. And unfortunately, you see this booklets that are coming out, right? You're getting a Muslim woman, ummah. Most of these things is not reliable. Because it's not just information that is required. It is those books, are they giving the right type of message across? Are they giving the right message? Right. So it may be information, that information may be right. But have they got the right spirit? Have they got the right understanding? Now, I don't just say things like that. A lot of our students now, when they're coming back from home, they bring all these journals. Then I take all that, I go and check in myself. Most of them are not for consumption. Now one article that was there was, so Mrs. Jamila, Muslim woman, she got married to Mr. Singh. And what a respectable person he was. And yeah, Mrs. Jamila and the family, they showed him so much of love and etiquette and respect. 10 years, so nice. And then after 10 years of his own, Mr. Singh became a Muslim, very good Muslim. So one message you are sending across. Don't worry, get married, it's alright. And just show good manners, and Mr. Singh will song for you. Right? That's a message you are giving. Now this type of people are writing articles. Right. And now you like, all of us like to hear some kalguzari, some story. If it's a woman or a man who knows how to write, right, is a good writer, right? Now there's an attraction already. You just grip the person the way you write. Now, he wants to read the story, and when you like the stories, then you are taking on to the stories. And then, in a short span of time, then you are confusing people. So that's why I say, best for 97-98% of people, but don't write, don't speak. And for your deen, this is what you will do. There is that percentage of ulama who sound, who are experienced. Their concern is your iman and your deen, akhirat. They are concerned in fights, debates, and who's scoring the points. That's not their business. So go and find out from them, provided they got some experience in these type of things. Refer to them. So your deen is safe. Otherwise, what will happen is, one is this creates the confusion, and you don't realize that this becomes an entertainment. He wrote against him. Leave it. Let's see now what will be the response. What will be his response? So what is this? Is this deen or is it entertainment? Think to yourself, is this deen or entertainment? He smashed him down. Tomorrow, just wait for 3 days, the response will come. Just wait. So what is this? I ask you, is this deen or is it entertainment? It's not deen at all, it's entertainment. So that entertainment, before you were getting in movies, now you're getting in people. See? So that's not your deen. Because, I mean, if it was deen, right? Deen would have inspired you, right? I read the article every 2 rakat namaz. I read the article every 300 times Durood Sharif. I read that article every somewhere of Quran Sharif. So that means that you're getting inspired. But does it happen? It hardly happens. Hardly ever happens. Let me think of death. Let me think of my akhirat. Let me see my act is right, you know. Let me go and see all these things. Allah Ta'ala.